And then, of course, there was, and just imagine, so I had just walked into the BBC. The very first day we were on air, a certain man hung up on me. His name was Uri Geller.
Look, what I, you know, it's obviously clear, Stephen, that you're trying to insinuate that he is guilty.
Uri, let me tell you something. I don't need to insinuate anything. If I have something to say, I'll say it. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm asking you things because you've been a friend of Michael Jackson's for a long time.
Stephen, I don't need to take this from you.
29 minutes past nine. We apologise for the language this morning. Tell me this, Uri, just before we do let you go. How much time have you given it in your mind to stand by Jackson? And there we have Deader. This morning, Uri Geller on the first programme on the Stephen Nolan Show hangs up the phone. There we go. What did you make of that? 0845 955 5678. Let's take your calls. What did you make of Michael Jackson?
To be honest with you, I was shaken. I was absolutely terrified. And I kept on thinking in my head that morning, what on earth will they be thinking upstairs? We got through it. Uri and I actually became quite friendly after that somehow. Good morning to you, Uri.
Hey, good morning, Stephen. Congratulations. Because 10 years, wow, that's amazing. And you're such a great guy. And you know what? Let's think about PR and publicity. The fact that I hung the phone in your face that morning started your show. You became so famous from that hang up. So, you know, everything has a good point too. But what I discovered later on when I met you, what a terribly nice guy you are.
Well, I don't know about that. What were you thinking in your head when you hung up? You just thought, I'm not going to put up with this dork, right?
Look, you must remember, I make and I do hundreds, if not thousands, of radio shows worldwide. I have my own radio show in the United States, and I just couldn't bear hearing Michael Jackson kind of being attacked. I always knew that he was not guilty, he was innocent, and anything that insinuated that he did something wrong really got me angry. And it was a real kind of instantaneous, spontaneous reaction. I said in my mind, I'm not going to take this, and I just shut the phone. I haven't done that many times in my career, by the way.
Well, you did it with us, so it's either your fault or my fault. I guess the show annoyed a lot more people after you, Uri, over the years.
You know, listen, there is no such thing, Stephen, you should know this, if you don't learn it from me, there's no such thing as bad publicity. No such thing. I'll never forget the day when I thought I'll make it in America, because Johnny Carson, the famous Johnny Carson, who was one of the greatest presenters on television, invited me, and I walked into a trap. He set me up and nothing worked. The spoon bent very little. And I sat there for 22 minutes humiliated. This was in the early 70s. And the only thought that went through my mind, Uri Geller, you're finished. Go back to the hotel, pack up and go back to Israel. You're dead.
And here you are all these years later. You've got a book out, right? The Secret Life of Uri Geller. Are we really going to find out what you're really like in this?
Yes, the book has been written by Jonathan Margolis, who writes for The Guardian. And it's basically, while my career of spoon bending and mind reading was going on, Stephen, I was working for the CIA and the Mossad and other intelligence services. And the BBC discovered this, and they came out with a documentary, and then the book followed. But it's just mind-blowing what work... I mean, I'm kind of showing off now, boasting, but I've done some pretty crazy stuff for intelligence agencies, and it's all in the book.
Uri, lovely to talk to you as always, sir, and thank you for kicking off our celebrations for us this morning.
Congratulations to you. A big hug and a big kiss to all your listeners.
All right. All the very best, Uri.